This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A bit later in the hour, the worst jobs in science. If you have one, get ready to talk to us about it. Also, using genes in genealogy. But first, time to check in with the Mars rovers. NASA plans to launch its next mission to Mars in August. This next robot's going to dig through the ice in the Martian permafrost. But the robotic vehicles already there, and you know who they are still making surprising discoveries. The two Mars rovers continue to explore more than 3 years past their scheduled lifetime. The mission has gone so well that even as the parts of the rovers wear out, they themselves lead to new unexpected discoveries. For example, the rover Spirit, dragging a lame wheel in the sand, has unearthed some very unusual soil, evidence of water on Mars. Someone here who can talk much more knowledgeably about it is Steve Squires. He's principal investigator for the Mars Exploration Rover Project, co-investigator on several of the other Mars missions. He's also professor of astronomy at Cornell. Welcome back to Science Friday.
Hey, Ira, how you doing?
You taking a break today?
Yeah, taking a little break. We're in the middle of planning, day 1,214 for the rover Opportunity. And by the way, I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to call in later for that thing on the worst jobs in science, because we all think we've got just about the best jobs in science.
I bet you do. those things are just like the bunnies. They could go on and keep
going.
They're
still going. I got no idea how much longer these things are going to last. You know, they could die tomorrow, or they could last another 3 years, and there's just no way of telling. We caught a real lucky break on the Spirit rover a week ago, something like that. The rover is one of the things that can limit their lifetime is dust building up on the solar arrays and cutting off the power. And just about a week or so ago, Spirit got hit by a good hefty gust of wind that cleaned a lot of the dust off the solar panels. So we got plenty of power on both vehicles right now.
Wow. That's been happening over these years.
It's happened several times. This is the third big one that we've had on Spirit. It's just luck. There's no way you can plan for them. They just happen when they happen. But we needed this one, and it happened.
But you also had this lucky thing about the wheel on Spirit.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, what happened was quite some time ago, I mean, we're talking several hundred days ago, the right front wheel on Spirit failed. It just doesn't turn anymore. And we can still drive it, but what we do, it's in the front, so what we do is we drive backwards, and we drag that wheel through the dirt as we go. And it makes it harder to drive, but it turns out that those five wheels are good enough to move the vehicle pretty well. What happens is, as you drive and you drag this wheel, it digs a trench. It just kind of scrapes through the soil, and it digs a trench as you go, and you kind of unearth whatever happens to be there. And what we have found is that in this particular area that we're working in, occasionally when you're dragging this through the soil, you'll uncover some soil that looks totally different. You know, normally on Mars, the soil is kind of a reddish brown, but then we went through this one patch of soil, and it was like white as snow. And we looked at it, you know, it caught our attention, and we looked at it with our infrared spectrometer, which is an instrument that can kind of look at things from a distance and tell us something about what they're made of. And it looked like it was rich in silica, which we thought was kind of strange. And so we went over and we whipped out our X-ray spectrometer and looked at it up close. And it turns out that this stuff is 91% pure silica. And that's a huge surprise. Now, silica occurs in different forms naturally. Silica just means silicon dioxide, SiO2. And it forms as a crystal, it's called quartz. And, you know, concentrations of quartz are common in sandstones and that sort of thing, at least on Earth. But this is not crystalline silica. This is, we can tell from its spectral properties, this is what's called amorphous silica. It's sort of like opal, mm-hmm. You know, like the gemstone.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of thing that there are a number of ways to make stuff like this, but they all involve water. So this was a surprising and exciting discovery for us.
So it could only have been made with water.
There are two main ways that we think this stuff might have gotten formed. One way is that it was dissolved. What happens is hot water, when it flows through rocks, it can dissolve silica out of the rocks. And silica dissolves very easily in hot water. And so what it can do is, if you have hot water flowing through the rocks, like in a hydrothermal system, a hot spring, you will pick up silica, and then when the water comes to the surface and cools off, it can't hold as much silica in solution, and so it gets precipitated out. And, you know, very frequently when you go to hot spring deposits on Earth, you get these mineral deposits, and they often tend to be very, very rich in silica for exactly that reason. So that's one way to do it. The other way to do it, and this is seen in places like Hawaii, where you find volcanic features called fumaroles. What happens is, again, below the surface, water comes into contact with very hot rocks. And in this case, it turns into steam. And in particular, you know, if you go to a volcano and you sniff, it smells bad because it smells like sulfur. What will happen is, essentially, what you get is you get sulfuric acid. And so you get these very caustic vapors that will then kind of rise up through the rocks and through cracks and fissures. And when they emerge at the surface, what they can do is they can, as they flow through the soil or flow through the rocks there, leach out many other components and leave very concentrated amorphous silica deposits behind. We're not sure which of those two hypotheses is correct. We're in the process right now of making observations that we hope will enable us to decide which one is more likely. But from, you know, if you stand back and look at the big picture, they both mean hot rocks and water.
Yeah, that's what you're looking for, evidence of that water.
Yeah.
So it was pretty lucky that it was dragging its wheel.
Yeah, you know, if we had driven over this patch of dirt with six good wheels, we would not have seen this thing. So it's a wonderful silver lining to the loss of this wheel.
So you got great wind storms that are blowing away the dust.
Yep.
You got an extra digger on, digging wheel you hadn't counted on. What about what's going on the other side of the planet with Opportunity? Anything happening there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Last time we talked, you were on the verge of going into the crater.
Yeah, we are perched right on the rim of Victoria Crater. In fact, the drive that we're planning today is basically tiptoeing right along the rim of a cliff that's 20 feet high. We're being very, very careful today. What we've been doing is surveying the interior of the crater, looking at it from the rim, trying to find the safest route down into the crater. We have found the safest route down into the crater, the one that we like. We're actually very close to it right now. And just a couple of days ago, I was down at NASA headquarters in Washington, briefing agency officials on our plans for potentially entering the crater and hoping for a final approval from them to take the rover into the crater, and the results of that process will be announced sometime in the next few days.
Wow. All right, is there any chance next time you send a rover, I know you're going to send one with on a little laboratory in a couple of years, right? Zapping, it could zap rocks with a laser?
Yeah, that's the Mars Science Laboratory mission that launches in 2009. That's the one with the laser zapper.
Can't you put a webcam on it so we could all watch it when it's happening on the internet? I mean,
well,
come on.
I almost sort of do
come
that.
Come on,
I
you
mean,
could
the
do
problem
that.
Is you can't
do a
wait
live
in real
webcam.
Time because Mars is so far away that it
so
takes
it's 40
minutes,
behind, Ann.
Excuse me?
So it's a few minutes behind, though.
Yeah. Right now what we've got is there's a delay of a day or so. That's the best we can do at this time.
You just don't want us to see, you know, whatever's going on.
Oh,
there,
believe
you know?
Me,
yeah,
if we could get those pictures down faster, we would do it. I get very impatient waiting for pictures.
So they have to go to the drugstore first before you guys get to see it.
Well, it's not quite the drugstore. What we got to do is relay them through an orbiter, and the orbiter only flies overhead at certain times.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see that.
That's what limits it.
I see.
You know, the orbiter goes overhead, and we shoot the pictures back through the orbiter. But, boy, as soon as they come through that orbiter, they're on the web more or less instantly.
Now, what's that new rover going to do that these guys can't?
It's got a couple of capabilities that are really nice. One is that it's got a
you sound like a used car salesman every day, more or less. I'm sorry.
This one's got a nuclear power source, and so none of this waiting around for wind gusts nonsense. It's going to have a good, steady supply of power. It's designed to have a much longer lifetime even than these ones, and so it could last for a very long time. So we expect it to be able to travel long distances. And then the really exciting thing is that it's got a much more powerful scientific payload. It's bigger. I mean, this thing's the size of a small car. And so it can carry a much more massive science payload. And so, for example, it's got instruments that we can use to detect organic molecules if they're present at very low levels. So what we can do is we can drill into rocks, take out that powder, put it into this very sophisticated little laboratory inside the rover and look for trace quantities of organic molecules that might be markers of a previous habitable environment on Mars. So it's scientifically, it's a really powerful machine.
And it's got this laser that can zap rock?
Yeah, that's kind of neat.
It vaporizes the rock?
Excuse me?
It can vaporize the rock right on spot.
Well, not the whole thing. You're not going to see a whole rock just kind of burst into vapor. But what it does is it shoots a laser pulse at the surface of a rock.
Right.
It vaporizes a very thin portion of the outer surface of the rock and then looks at it with a spectrometer, and by looking at the spectral properties of the little burst of energy that you get, it can tell us what chemical elements are present in the rock. So it's a way of measuring the composition of a rock from a distance.
And in the meantime, you've got a mission to Mars in August that's going to go search through the permafrost, is that
right?
Yeah,
that's right. That's the Phoenix mission. And that one's a lander. It's not a rover. But what it'll do is land near the North Pole of Mars in a place where we think there is permafrost, ice beneath the ground. And then it's got this big, powerful, long arm, kind of like a backhoe, that can dig down into the ice, dig a trench, and from down in the ice, pick some of that stuff up and put it into a set of experiments on the deck of the lander that'll tell the science team in much more detail what is in that ice.
This is more like the Viking mission.
It's sort of like Viking, except that what Viking was aiming at was looking specifically for living organisms. That's not what Phoenix is doing.
It's just looking for water.
It's looking for details on the chemistry of the ice and what's frozen in that ice.
Boy, sounds like the next spooky movie. Thank you. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, you're very welcome.
And good luck to you. We'll be in touch. Steve Squires, principal investigator for the Mars Exploration Rover Project and co-investigator on several of other Mars missions, also professor of astronomy at Cornell University.